Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Amen. Imagine that this was to be your last day on earth. Your loved ones have surrounded you, and the time is short. There are things you need to settle, important things that need to be said. Fear and grace pervade these holy moments, and the vulnerability in the room is palpable. Maybe you envision whispering sweet devotions and assurances to those you love. There is little time for words, however, just actions that communicate your love. I can only suppose that these were the thoughts that Jesus was having that night in the upper room with his disciples. What else would inspire such an act of humility as washing his friends' feet, those very friends who would soon betray him? Only God's grace could pervade those moments and that bittersweet event. John's gospel story shows us Jesus' grace-filled behavior that is an example, calling his disciples to do as I have done to you. How disturbing that must have been to see their Lord at their feet, washing them, the most base task there was. And then he commanded them to live this way in their lives. That must have shook them to the core. Jesus demonstrated a devotion that was complete, that was perfect. It was an everlasting love, a love that was beyond the end. Despite their ignorance, despite their ambition and pride, Jesus loved them. Loving by Christ's example would mean giving without counting the cost. If we are to belong to the fellowship of Christ, must we also love to the end? On that night before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come. And knowing that they didn't understand, Jesus culminated his teachings into one single act. He rose from the table, stripped off his outer garments, and humbly washed the feet of his friends. All he had taught them was enacted in this one solemn ritual. Jesus foreshadowed his passion and his death and the washing away of sin. By becoming a servant, Jesus embodied his teachings, the first shall be last, and to lose one's life is to gain. When he finished, he got up, robed himself, and instructed the disciples to repeat that behavior in their lives. But how could they enact that perfect love? Maybe in the safety of that upper room, they could love each other. But in the world, there was going to be trouble. The disciples feared what Jesus asked of them was to risk giving away the one thing that felt protective, God's love. I wonder if we struggle with the same fear. Opportunities to give and receive grace are before us every single day. But we live in a world that interprets humility as powerlessness. While we want to follow Christ and share in his fellowship, this notion of losing one's life to gain, it's terrifying. And when we're afraid, our natural inclination is to pull in and self-protect. We would have to trust that when we give love away, Christ fills us with more. Is there enough love to risk letting go? Grace does not have to come in heroic acts, but the small actions as we trust in God and move beyond our fears. Grace came for me in a hospital ICU waiting room, a place where strangers, once completely unconnected, were brought together to share a journey of agony and hope. What could have been a lonely and frightening time transformed into moments of connection and shared humanity. Each of us was there for a different reason, and the stories unfolded and gave us opportunities for grace to emerge. I witnessed acts of kindness where God's presence was found in the sharing of a cup of coffee, in a listening ear, in a comforting hand on the shoulder. That waiting room was a place where time was suspended and priorities were changed. One family waited in hope for their daughter, Kelly, to awaken from a coma. Each day they would try new tactics to wake her up, and each day they would sit vigil and would share in the small triumphs and defeats. Bill, whose father had had a stroke, offered coffee and conversation to Kelly's distraught father. Kelly's sister engaged with a little girl whose mother was dying of cancer. We became a community that came to know the nuances of joy, of sadness, of true sorrow and despair, giving and receiving care from one another. We washed one another's feet in tears and sometimes in laughter. And when shouts of joy rang out the day that Kelly came out of her coma, God's love and grace was a palpable presence in that room. As Jesus prepared his disciples for what was ahead, he met their fears with assurance. You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand. He was preparing them to walk the way of the cross, where he would stretch out his hands and embrace a world that needed a saving embrace. Grace given and grace received would become the vehicle of God's love in the world. Tonight, all of us are invited to be washed and receive God's everlasting care. In humility and thanksgiving, we are then to wash one another's feet. While we may fear the vulnerability of this act, we can be assured in Christ's example that God will pour out love as we give to one another. I pray that as we accept God's sufficient grace, we will be filled to overflowing. God loves us beyond the end. Consider this night your need to be washed and to come face to face with your own vulnerability. We come to the water as we are, to be washed in God's mercy and then respond by serving each other. We come to this table to be fed so that we can go out into the world and begin to feed others. We offer ourselves in sacrifice and thanksgiving when we come as we are, humble and vulnerable. I came across a poem this week written by the Reverend Becca Stevens that reminds us of those weaknesses that give us common ground and place us squarely in God's care. It's entitled Tripped Up. I cross my heart at the altar, then trip over my own 2 feet. I get in my way so easily that roots, open doors, and tiny cracks throw me for a loop. Walking with grace is a dream offered to flawless women I pass. I know my mistakes so well. They are scarred on the back of my hand, tattooed on my lower back, and etched in my heart. I wonder if people see them in my eyes or read them into every line I write about mercy. The times I have tripped kept me close to the ground. Mistakes have taught me everything I have ever known about love. My missteps lead me to the place where I can trust that tripping puts me into love's arms. Come now to the waters of mercy. When we participate with Christ, the good is in us, and we're filled as vessels of God's provision. Will you each join in receiving and giving of God's love? This is indeed a holy moment where we encounter the terror of our vulnerability and meet the grace of possibilities in God's saving embrace. Amen.